Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving them all on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together,
listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Okay, here we go. Today, folks, this is a good one because today I want to share with you something that affects every living soul. And that one thing is your attitude. This affects everyone. It is your attitude. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever told you, but I mean, many of you who listen know this, but there are a lot of people who don't understand. A positive attitude can bring about a change. A positive attitude can bring about a change. Well, now here we go with the naysayers. Well, Steve, what you mean if I'm just positive being changed? Now, my mama gone. What me being positive got to do with that? Okay, now listen to me carefully. A positive attitude can bring about change. Well, okay, Steve, I hear you saying that, but they done fired me. So now what does my having a positive attitude have to do with the fact that they fired me? Well, one more time. A positive attitude can bring about change. Well, Steve, I sat up in here and gave 8, 9, 12 years of my life to this man, and he cheated on me and walked out. Now, what does me being positive have to do with him cheating on me? How that's going to change that? Okay, here we go again. A positive attitude can bring about change. Now, listen to the whole thing. Now, the positive attitude and the change that can happen starts. This is the start. It starts within you. See, life is 10% what happens. It's 90% what you do about what happens. Okay, you gave 12 years of your life to this man. He cheated and left you holding the bag, the kids and everything. Now, what does being positive have to do with changing that? Or they came in and they fired you. You lost your job that you was a stellar performer at. But now how does you having a positive attitude, how does that change things for you? So far, we can use any example. Here's what happens. When you have a positive attitude, what it produces within you is a positive approach to life. And when you have a positive attitude and a positive approach to life, it causes you to be optimistic, to have a positive outlook, to expect things to eventually turn around and turn into a positive. That's very important, because as the law of attraction comes into play, if you think positive thoughts, you attract positive things. If you think evil thoughts, you attract evil to you. You know, if you want for nothing, then nothing comes your way. If you want for positive attitude, if you want for positive results, if you want for a great outcome, that's what you attract to you. The change will begin within you. So let's take the man that walked out your life and left you holding the bag. Here's a positive attitude. Okay, two things have happened that's positive here. Number one, you've ridded yourself of someone who is obviously going to be, if not already, been toxic in your life. Caused you many restless nights, a lot of uncomfortable feelings and uneasiness, not sure, insecurity. You've been going through it with this person, whoever they are. Number one, that person has been released from your life. Number two, it allows you now to have the someone who will treat you just the way you want to be treated. That's the positive outlook. That's the optimistic way. That's when you're a positive person, you see the positive in things that happen to you instead of burying yourself under the what's wrong with it, a oh, woe is me now concept. See, a positive attitude, when they came in there and they fired you and let you go, could this not have been just the opening you needed to finally start on a new career path that you've been talking about doing anyway? Could it possibly be a brand new chance for you to get the dream job or dream career of your choice? Could it not possibly be the perfect opportunity now for you to finally do something about that gift, about that talent that God gave you, that thing that you love to do? Could it not be the perfect time for you to pursue that? But if you don't have a positive attitude, then you lay there. Oh, they finna come get my house. Oh, what I'm gonna do now? Oh, this unemployment ain't enough. Oh, Lord, when this unemployment run out, what am I gonna do then? I won't have nothing. And you, oh, woe is me, until you become, oh, woe is me. But if you take it from the positive approach, some amazing things can happen in your life. I will tell you on a personal note that some of the best changes, some of the biggest moments in my life came after a loss. Some of the best things that's ever happened to me, some of the biggest moments that I've accomplished in my entire career came after a loss. So I don't want to go down the list, but boy, I could tell you, let me tell you something. When they didn't want me on the radio anymore in L.A., when they were sick of the way I did radio out there, and they wanted me gone. And on May 23rd, 2005, when my deal was done with the beat out in L.A., okay, look what happened, though. Yeah, I was gone in May, but in September 19th, I started the Steve Harvey radio network with Four Cities. You see, but I didn't go, oh, woe is me. I said, oh, okay. God must have something else for me then. Because if he didn't remove me from this, there must be something else. Same thing can happen when you lose and you break up in a relationship. Same thing can happen to you. You never know the one God got for you. Now here you go. Here you go again. Now you get put into a situation where somebody treats you just the way you want to be treated, provide you with a whole lot of aspects of your life you knew nothing about prior to that. But you got to stay positive. You got to keep looking out. You got to keep looking to God. You got to keep believing that there's got to be something better for you, that God has a plan, and it don't coincide with your plan oftentimes. But his way is the best way. Oh, I have not liked it many times, man. Oh, man, I've had people scathe me. I'm talking about, man, people I ain't done nothing to. I don't even know where it's coming from. Just go public and just try to bury me. When they got through, man, I can't tell you what happened to me, because I ain't raised my voice back. I didn't get into that negative lane with them. I took the high road. And when you take the high road, God got something for you. So all of you out there that's struggling, that's being hated on, that you feel like your life took some turns that you have no control over, if you stay positive, that positive attitude, that optimistic outlook, that always thinking God got me no matter what happened to me. Some amazing things is going can will happen in your life. It's a fact. I don't know how it works that way. I just know that's what it is. Positive attitude is everything, y'all. So get off the old woe is me negativity train, because it ain't going to take you nowhere but down. And get your outlook up. If you change your attitude, you change your altitude. Altitude is determined by your attitude. How high you go, how big you become, how far you go, it all depends on how you think. It all depends on what type of attitude you got. Ain't no very, very successful, super negative people. It just doesn't coincide that way. If you see that, something happened to them along the way. And don't worry, you ain't got to worry about it, because you ain't going to see them long. Because you can't stay up there like that. It's just too hard. All right? That's the conversation.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I normally say people from around the world, but we've said that it's covered. All y'all, what's happening? This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I'm his Steve. That was for you Shirley.
You tore that up.
That is for Shirley.
That's just the gift that keeps on giving,
Steve. Well, you know, Shirley, you know, when you work with a bougie person like yourself, what I try to do is, you know, interject commonality into your life, because you don't have enough of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In terms of language. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be there for you, Shirley, to provide you a look at the other side. Because, you know, they didn't like you in high school. Because you was bougie.
So true.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She thinks she all that. I know they didn't. I didn't know Shirley in high school, but I know.
You can bet.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
She was bougie.
You were right.
Shirley is Vendetta Nimmons.
Who?
Vendetta Nimmons?
Vendetta Nimmons.
I don't get it. Is that a person?
Yeah, yeah. She act real bougie. She married Warren Anderson.
Oh.
Both them is preachers too. Now.
Oh, they're preachers now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what level of storefront went last time I checked.
Okay.
So are you calling out preachers?
Bougie storefront.
I know. I was just going to say.
Huh? What are you doing?
They's preachers when they got married. Vendetta Nimmons married Warren Anderson.
Right. And they bougie.
And they was bougie.
And the storefront church.
And they got He never forgets a name. He never forgets a name.
But he don't know half the people staffed.
I know.
What's the name of our new engineer that works here, Steve? What's his name?
Dave.
Oh, look at you.
Who told you?
Junior. You told
Junior.
I didn't tell him nothing.
Junior, how he tell me that quick?
What's his last name?
Got it right.
Henry.
I don't know about it.
What
that.
Is it?
I don't know his last name.
Dave Henry.
But you ain't
he
the
got
CEO.
Two first names.
It's not.
Dave Henry.
Dave Henry.
Nice guy. Bought in by iHeartMedia to watch out and oversee us.
Oversee? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Well, okay. I didn't mean it like as in slavery.
Thank you.
See, Shirley, now you took it.
Bougie.
See, right there.
You
I was
must
talking
be
about
clear.
Oversee. No, Shirley.
Yes?
Ain't nobody saying nothing about the man. He a overseer, because that ain't finna happen up in here. Get your ass pulled down off that horse. Get your ass whooped.
Okay, really?
I know. No. Why do you have to take it there?
Now we have to have an HR meeting.
Oh, no, we don't have no HR meeting. What the hell we need an HR meeting for? I just said they sent him in here to oversee us, but just to see over us, not overseer as in feel and slavery. Don't do that to the man. He's sitting there embarrassed now. And Shirley, why would you do that? Try to embarrass the man like that. This is a chef bringing herbs to me. This ain't really real medicine.
Oh, the chef is bringing herbs. You have some life.
Girl,
I'm trying to stay healthy, man. Mess around. Just start making this money, man. I can't leave here now.
All right, listen, something funny is coming up.
Still got stuff ordered.
And I got to tell you, personality is more important than looks to most people. We'll be back at 32 after to talk about it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with something funny, Steve. Personality is more important than looks to most people. While a lot of us are overly concerned about how we look, especially when it comes to finding a mate, it turns out looks really aren't everything. In fact, a new Planet Fitness Valentine's Day poll finds that 92% of people say they prefer a partner with a good personality to one with a great body. Overall, 81% of people say they're looking for a partner with a good personality, while 76% want one with a sense of humor. There you go, Steve, with a positive attitude. And 73% open-mindedness, 62% also important characteristics for a mate. So I got to ask you, Steve, I got to ask Junior and Tommy, you guys chime in too. What's the most important thing you're looking for in your significant other?
Well,
and really, how important are looks?
Personality is critical.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to need you to be cute too, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because what I'm not going to be doing is sitting up in here with your ugly ass just because you're nice.
Because you got a nice person.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit up and do all that. You know, I got you But you know, you're horrid.
That used to be the standard if someone wasn't cute, that you'd ask them, are they cute? You say, well, they have a nice personality.
That mean they was ugly, Shirley.
That ain't cute.
That's all that meant right away.
But
now, I would prefer personality over, you said, a great body.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my body got flaws. I can accept a flaw on your body. There ain't no problem. Couple of flaws, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I ain't worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 92%.
But in the face, though.
Yeah.
This faces, rolling over every morning.
looking at that?
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, I'm gonna need something now.
Till death do us part.
Yeah. Well, kill me now.
Till you die, baby.
Yeah. I'm till every morning.
And what I'm not gonna do is die every morning you wake up.
Well, I mean, that's so
but
odd.
But it's
to
every
me.
Day you die.
Yeah.
Every
I need
day.
For you out of makeup to resemble the person in makeup.
Hello.
I need that.
Okay, so we know men are visual. We got that. Men are very visual.
Women are too, Shirley.
Okay, and that's what I was coming to. And you guys, all of you guys, well, with the exception of Tommy, you guys say you're not cute. So where are we now?
No, I'm not cute.
I ain't
and
cute.
Tommy,
we
not
still
cute
with
either.
Them not cute, and I'm as cute. What is
Tommy,
what?
Tommy, you're not.
You're not
cute.
Gonna make me ugly.
It ain't
Black
making
History Week.
Tommy,
Black
I
History
didn't make
month.
You.
I'm
you
not,
was born that way, Tommy.
I wasn't
not
born
cute.
No. Okay.
Okay. Okay, Tommy. Let me ask you a question. List your flaws.
And my flaws.
Ooh, it might take a minute.
It's limited.
Talk amongst
Come
yourselves.
Come on, Tommy. If I have one. Yeah. Come on, boy.
My shoulders ain't like nice, you know.
Yeah,
my hamstrings, of course, is gone to hell.
See, your shoulders ain't good, ain't like my shoulders.
No, you got broad. You wide. Now, you wide. I ain't got that. I ain't got that.
Mm. Come
your
on.
Your shoulders. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Shoulders.
My foam star with SH. Come on.
So far, it's just shoulders.
Well, the other one started with SH, too.
What?
Or shoulders and come on.
Listen, first of all, what? I'm not short, but short can be sexy. So let's not kill that, okay? You don't have to be tall to be sexy. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not tall, but I'm not short.
No, women don't have to be tall to be sexy.
Right.
No, I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about people, period. There's
well,
short,
men
pretty
and women.
Women.
Yeah, what do you
short,
mean people?
There's short, sexy.
Species.
There's short, sexy women, and there's good-looking, shorter men. What are you talking about? What is wrong with
that? We're just at the shoulders, though.
Go ahead. Finish up. Your shoulders, what else wrong?
It's another one starting with SH.
I know.
Lower back ain't where it ought to be. Got hair on it. You know, it's just some things.
Well, you can't
you know?
See your lower back because of your other flaw.
Shoulder.
Come on.
Short. It's another one with an SH.
Come on.
Does he need help, Steve? Because...
Say okay, it. Here we. Here, you finna
well,
claim I got
a
high
Steve.
Behind. I don't have a high behind.
No, I don't claim
what?
Nothing. You can't see your lower back. If Tommy, when you put your belt on, if your belt buckle is lower than the top of your ass, what do you think that's from?
Them just bad belts.
Bad belts?
Yeah.
Oh,
bad
belts.
Built is what you
bad
say.
Belts.
Okay,
belts.
Tommy. Tommy, let me help you with your shortcomings. Your flaws
Literally.
Is your shoulders, you got a high ass, you're short, and your profile.
Dang,
profile.
That's all of me. What is you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean profile?
Yeah, I mean, look at
when
him
when he turns to the side.
Yeah.
Wow, I never noticed.
Okay, ladies, look at me from the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now do you see anything he talking about?
Yeah. What are you saying? Well, What's wrong with his profile, Steve?
You don't see a jawline.
Oh, he
see how his chin runs straight down into his chest.
My son said that. I don't have a chin. So that make me ugly though?
Yeah.
We're chinless. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just get over here.
We
man.
Should have chins in life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Our family not famous for that. My profile toe up.
How much do chins cost?
You can get implants all day.
Okay. So if I get a chin, no then I'm.
No, he don't need no implants.
Do I? If I get a chin, then I look good.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So it ain't the chin.
You're supposed to be encouraging him.
He ain't encouraging nothing.
No.
Well, I didn't say I was going to encourage you. I said list your shortcomings. You seem to be struggling. Shoulders short, high ass, and your profile. And your hamstrings is gone.
What is yours?
And your jumping ability is spot.
What are yours?
Just get some more money.
I got big lips. I got a full nose. My profile is shot. My stomach cannot seem to get reduced.
Okay, we gotta go. This could take forever. Coming up next, Tommy's.
You just firing right off.
Right, because I know that.
Run That Prank Back is coming up with the nephew. We're gonna get him a chin.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, all right. Okay, can I say something? Because we've been talking about flaws. Let's get off of flaws.
Okay.
What are your assets as a man? Tommy. Let's just go there then.
Well, okay. You're saying my ass sits high.
Okay, let's get off your flaws. We done went over that.
Yeah.
What are your assets?
You just said ass set. You said my ass. Okay.
Your ass is set up high. I got that. But assets in terms of what are your positive features?
Oh,
what are your positive features?
Yeah, they are, Tommy.
Teeth, eyes. Bald head, all that sexy.
Bald head is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
To people
mm-hmm.
who like bald heads.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Abs. I have abs. Actually, see, before I eat,
no, you
I
don't.
Have abs.
Before
I eat. Now, no, when I eat, they gone.
No, you don't. No, you ain't. No, have anybody seen that?
I ain't seen.
No, not a nail one. Not a
I ain't been showing them to y'all. Why am I showing them?
Boy, you just Tommy. Ran that race. You had that tight shirt on. We ain't seen nothing in there.
Tommy.
Boy, it's abs.
Tommy, you don't have abs because you would take a picture of them if you had them. Because I would. You don't
we
have
took a picture.
Abs.
How many years ago we took the picture? We took the picture. And
you didn't have abs then.
No, you
it
didn't.
It wasn't no ab.
Your stomach was flat.
No,
you
can but
you
Google that.
No
but you weren't
bumps.
Cut. Yeah, you weren't. He means you weren't cut up.
Oh, wait just Tommy. A minute here. Now, we're going to put this out in the public here.
Tommy, you were farting.
It was Google. We could Google it. The abs are not there.
You don't have abs, Tommy. Hey, dog, do you have any positive physical qualities?
He said
other
teeth.
Than your teeth. Other than your teeth.
What about your
face?
Hands? Your
My hands,
your arms,
my face.
Your,
yeah. You got raccoon hands, so stop that.
Yeah.
Ladies, do I have pretty hands? Do I have decent
Karen
hands?
Karen Acorn.
Yeah, you have nice hands.
Your feet small. Your hands are small.
I wear 11 and a half. That ought to be
No, you don't, Tommy. You keep telling us you do that. But you don't wear no 11 and
that's,
a half.
Boy, that's a 1.5. You don't see the 2 under there?
Oh, God. I can't win with y'all. I can't.
Well, I was going to ask you. You asked Tommy his good qualities. What are yours?
I'm tall.
Okay.
Wallet.
I'm
wild.
Strong.
Yeah.
I'm a hard worker. I'm forceful.
You said physical.
We talking about
okay,
physical.
Cool.
You
okay,
said
cool.
physical
okay, cool.
to Tommy.
Okay, cool. I got a nice smile.
Okay, good. You have dimples.
I got good teeth.
Yeah.
You know,
all right,
my
we gotta...
head is symmetrically correct for being a bald head man. I got large hands. I got large feet. You do the math.
We got to go to run that
you
prank
You ain't ever back. Heard nothing. You ain't ever heard a complaint from nobody about me.
We can carry this on all
we
morning.
We ain't talk to nobody. Now we
Stack, you can't because ain't nobody going to come out and say nothing. I'm stacked. I'm blessed.
Tommy.
Let's run
we
the gotta prank
run
back.
We got to run the prank
here,
back.
Here it is. 6 to 10. Run the prank back.
Hello? Hello, I was trying to speak to LaTrenda, please.
This is LaTrenda. Who is this?
Hey, you work at the sandwich shop?
Yes, I do. Who is this?
Okay, was you there? Did you work last Wednesday, like from 6 to, I guess, 6 to close?
Yeah, I work every Wednesday. Yeah, who is this?
Hey, my name is Ralph, and I basically, you know, looked around to try and get your phone number. I got a bit of a complaint.
Wait. You calling me with a complaint on my cell phone? Who gave you my number?
I've done the research to get your number, ma'am. And what I'm calling you about is, while I was in there getting a sandwich and eating, I'm realizing that you came out of the bathroom without washing your hands. And
when first of all, you need to be calling the corporate headquarters if you got a complaint. Or you call that 800 number on the back of your receipt. Don't be calling my cell phone. Whoever gave you my cell phone, I'm going to whoop they.
Hey, listen. The problem is that you coming out not washing your hands.
No. The problem, I don't never come out and not wash my hands, first of all. I've been working there for 3 years.
Okay.
Don't be coming at me with no bull that I hadn't came out and not washed my hands.
I guess you ain't been washing your hands for no 3 years. And you coming out, you know, unsanitizing this way you treating people.
Hold on. Don't be calling my phone talking about I ain't washed my hands. Like I said, I've been there 3 years. I've been employee of the month 6 times. Don't be coming at me with none of this bull.
I don't know how you employee of the month. You must be the nasty employee of the month because you're coming out, you're not washing your hands. I saw you scratch your head and your face. And you ain't putting no gloves on.
Who is? I always put gloves on my hands.
You ain't have no gloves on there last Wednesday.
I don't know who the hell you think you are, but don't be calling my phone with this. You need to be calling headquarters if you got a complaint.
I tell you what, I'm going to call headquarters. I'm coming there tomorrow to see if you're going to be up in there with some gloves on or you're going to come out there out of the bathroom again with the same thing.
Come on up there. I'm going to be there from 6 to close. 6 to close. And I bet you if you come up there tomorrow, I'm going to make a sandwich out your.
You going to do what?
I'm going to make a sandwich out your.
Who you think you talking to?
Yo, you said your name was Ralph, right? Don't be calling my phone with this.
Hey, let me tell you something. All I'm saying to you is this right here. If I come up in there tomorrow and find out you ain't got them gloves on, you gonna mess around and get whooped.
You gonna whoop my? You gonna whoop 6 to 10? I'm gonna be up there from 6 to 10, and I ain't gonna call nobody. I ain't calling my brothers, my cousins, my uncles, or nothing. I'm gonna whoop your by myself.
Excuse me, you finna try to take on a man? I'm
gonna whoop your by myself. That's what I said.
You need to get your little nasty behind in the bathroom and wash your hands put one of them nets on your hand so you don't be coming up there some people food like that.
Bring your phone up there, 6 to 10. You know where I work, 6 to 10, and I'm going to whoop your.
Who you think you talking to?
I don't even know who the you are, but I'm going to know your tomorrow. I'm going to know you tomorrow. Bring your on up there, 6 to 10, and I'm going to whoop your.
I'm coming up there tomorrow.
Come on.
I'm coming up there tomorrow. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you how to be sanitized. I'm going to be with some gloves on. Do you hear me?
You're going to be my. And you steady talking about whooping my. That's cool. Bring your up there, and we're going to see who's going to get their whooped. What kind of man is you anyways to be talking about fighting a woman? You a.
What you call me?
A B.
I'm coming up there to see you tomorrow. Is you gonna be ready when I get up there?
What kind of you anyway? Gonna call up here talking about you gonna fight female over some hand wash? Bring your and I'm gonna show you what it is. 6 to 10. I'm gonna be here at 6. Matter of fact, I'm gonna be there at 5:45. Bring your up here before I clock in, and I'm gonna whoop your.
Who you think you talking to?
I don't give a. I'm gonna talk to you. Bring up here tomorrow, 6 to 10. You gonna see what's up.
I got one more thing to say to you before I come up there tomorrow.
I don't give a you got to say. I don't care. I'm gonna whoop your. Say that.
I got one more thing I need
what?
To say.
What
listen
you
to me.
To say? What?
Are you listening?
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Who you? You say who? This is who?
Hey, this Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Man.
You just got pranked by your coworker.
Man, you man. See, man, y'all got me, man. That's all right. 6 to 10 tomorrow, I got something for her. She going to have to watch her back every hour. Every hour on the hour, I got something for her. I ain't going to hurt her, but I'm definitely going to do her in tomorrow. Believe that.
Was you ready, though?
I was, hell yeah. I was going to whoop. Man. You don't even know what you had in store for you. You was going to have your uncle come pull me off, and that probably wouldn't have been enough either.
Hey, I got one more thing to ask you, baby girl. What is the baddest radio station in the land?
You already know, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
That is 6 to 10. You can get my pranks CD in Walmart today. Won't he do it? Get your copy today. Yay, yay.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The victory parade route for the world champion Philly Eagles is tomorrow, Thursday at 11 a.m. The expected route will take the celebration from the stadium area all the way up Broad Street to City Hall and will then turn left on the parkway. All public and private schools in the city of Philadelphia will be closed. I know those kids are so happy. Yeah. The Eagles, of course, defeated the Patriots 41-33 on Super Bowl Sunday in Minneapolis. The game's hero was underdog backup quarterback Nick Foles, who took the reins from starting quarterback Carson Wentz's injury earlier in the year and never looked back. Fly, Eagles, fly.
All yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He goes. Did we ever find out, Unc, why they didn't play the cornerback from New England?
No, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I was just reading the report. Said it was something to do with women. Minor team violation.
Huh?
Yeah. Just a minor team violation. That's what Bill Belichick said. It was just a number of issues.
Number of issues?
Mm-hmm.
But wait, you said women, though.
Women, you know.
So he broke a team rule.
Broke a team
something.
Rule.
Something. Yeah, something about something behavior like is what you're saying, Junior?
Yeah, behavior issue.
Oh.
Wow.
That's okay. More than, okay.
Belichick said that?
Yeah, Belichick says it's just a discussion. He don't want to get into it. He just speculates. Some teammates say, hey, it could be an issue with this. It's sad to have that happen.
Did Belichick say that, though?
No, Belichick didn't say it. He just said it was
Belichick another issue. Been avoiding it.
That's what he's trying to do. He don't really want to talk about it.
Wow. Well, that kid. Maybe. That's too bad, man.
Yeah, according to MSN, Junior's right. One of they're saying that Butler was violating a team rule related to curfews and others.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. He got some women after midnight. Yeah. That's what he done.
Bad week of practice. He was battling flu-like symptoms. That's what MSN.com is saying, Steve.
Guess he thought them girls would fix it up for him, though.
Yeah.
I got the
flu. They can fix a flu now.
Yeah.
Really?
I ain't going to lie when he true about that, though.
What?
Flu ain't stop you from performing. Yeah,
when I'm sick, that's what I need. Yeah, whenever I'm sick, I don't give a damn what my illness
that's
is.
That's the best antibiotic in the world.
If I get a shot, I'll be fine.
I've had six cell crisis and went on in.
What, Junior?
Gotta calm it down, won't
it? I'll make it.
What?
Don't dip there how sick you is. I'll try it.
Yeah.
That'll reduce that fever. Cut that fever in half.
Right here.
It might not cut the fever in half, but at least I won't know I'm got a fever. It'll be other things I'm shooting for. You know,
I love it.
Hey, Tom, you okay? How sick you is?
Wow.
Like that 6-second earthquake that go on in my body, it shuts down everything, and everything else is irrelevant.
That's it.
He said a 6-second earthquake.
7.5.
This show right here. This is just the guys talking, Carla.
I'm sorry.
About
I ain't never
stuff.
Heard it that way, dog.
Uh-huh. Sorry,
I ain't never heard it.
Dog, that's what it is.
It's an earthquake.
No, it's a 6-second earthquake in your body.
Yeah.
At a 7.5.
Oh, man.
I'd have looked up my eyebrows and been on the pillowcase.
Yeah. What? All of that?
Them all.
Y'all have them. Y'all have them. Hella.
It's the great earthquakes.
All right, as we move on from this fascinating conversation.
All of this started about the Eagles.
I know. Miss Ann is here.
We take it everywhere.
Steve, introduce Miss Ann, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here. Our very own Miss Ann Tripp.
very much. This is Antrip with the news, everybody. Well, not really funny. The nation faces the possibility of yet another partial government shutdown at midnight tomorrow unless the GOP and the Democrats come to some agreement, not just on money, but, of course, how to treat the Dreamers, people brought here illegally as children. However, it seems like the president's willing to pay hardball, period.
If we don't change it, let's have a shutdown. We'll do a shutdown, and it's worth it for our country. I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this stuff taken care of. We've identified three priorities for creating a safe, modern, and lawful immigration system, securing the border, ending chain migration, and canceling the terrible visa lottery.
Meanwhile, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly is quoted as saying yesterday that some immigrants have either been, get this, too lazy or too afraid to sign up for the program. Too lazy. House Intelligence Committee voted to make public a classified Democratic memo which rebuts GOP claims that the FBI and the Justice Department abused their powers to wiretap a Trump campaign official. The vote now gives President Trump a couple of days to review the memo and determine whether he's going to block its release or allow it to come out. By the way, the president has been engaged in a lot of chest thumping lately about the stock market when it was hitting record highs. But after several days of ups and downs, mostly downs, the boast has been altered. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin now urging Americans to look beyond the roller coaster run that the stock market's been on recently because he insists the administration is focused on the big picture.
We are very focused on the long-term economic growth, and we believe that the policies that we've enacted, including tax reform, are very positive for long-term economic growth.
By the way, when it comes to stocks, only about half of all Americans have any, and economists say the largest stock ownership is concentrated among the wealthy. The suspect in this disgusting viral video showing a young girl performing oral sex on a grown man now in police custody. Alabama authorities announced a warrant against 44-year-old Jermaine Moore. Moore lives in the Millbrook area. He turned himself in. They say the little girl in the video, whose age is not being released, but yesterday they said she was six, has been located, and she's safe. This is truly sad. Chicago police looking into allegations that singer Dennis Edwards was being abused by his wife in the months before he died. An order of protection taken out against his wife, Brenda Edwards, alleging domestic abuse. In fact, there was supposed to be a hearing on a Friday, but Dennis died on a Thursday. His wife says that the accusations are false and defamatory. She does not believe them. She says that someone's just trying to muddy her name for some reason. Well, finally, on the happy note, today is Harlem Globetrotters Day. Let's whistle. Georgia Brown. Eugene the Butterfly coming at 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, he is here. Please introduce the butterfly.
Oh, hell, Jay ain't here. All right, here we go, Jay. Whoa. Do you know the butterfly, because I do. Do you know the butterfly, because I do.
Gospel song.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bishop Butterfly.
Let the radio say amen.
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 And amen again. It is the amen one and only again. Bishop Butterfly with the pink cloth. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Shirley Carla. First of all, the ladies, good morning.
Good morning, Butterfly. Flutter, flutter.
Hey, you, Junior. Good morning.
Junior and Tommy, good morning.
Morning, Butterfly. Flap on. What's flap happening? On, Bishop.
What's happening? What's happening?
Stephen Harvey.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so I got it. I got what we can work on together. I've been brainstorming and brainstorming. I finally have it. You know how the movie Girls Trip did so good. It did very well.
Oh yeah, it did.
Yeah,
Will Packer was just outstanding with it. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. Listen, mm-hmm. Stephen, I think we get with Will Packer, and you know what? We do the boys trip.
I already did that with Kill. Calhoun and Will. We already did that. That's done.
Movie did.
No, I mean the movie. We're going to do the movie, the boys.
That's what we made down in Vegas. We made a movie.
Made a movie.
We shot it. It's good.
Yeah.
Shocked. It'll be out this summer.
Hear me out, Stephen. I just want me and my friends to do a trip. Like me, Lorenzo, Fonzie, Sir Charles Meir, and Scooby. All of us gonna get together. We want to do a movie. But guess what? Instead of going to Essence Festival, we're gonna go to Sand and Soul, and we're gonna shoot a lot of the footage down there. It would be a great, great, great idea, Stephen. I just want you to really open-mindedly think about it.
I would, man, but we already did that.
We already did a dudes trip with all dudes.
So you're not interested? But,
no, it's girl trip. We just thought we gonna do the dude trip.
I'm trying to do something I could be in it. I wasn't in it. That,
no, we have to come up with something a little bit more original then, because that's been done.
But if I change it up a bit and get like a good storyline with, well, a good storyline, like, you know, going on a fellas trip and then somebody goes to jail or somebody gets lost. Just something.
Boy, you can't go to jail.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on, Cheryl.
Wrap this up. Yeah.
That's how he gonna wrap
it. Storyline.
Like
you wanna go down? You wanna go down that road?
After the break at 34 after the hour. On a real serious note, we're gonna talk about the politicizing of illegal immigration.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, Steve, police have identified the drunk driver who struck and killed Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson on Sunday, and say he is an illegal immigrant who has been deported twice. 26-year-old Jackson and his 54-year-old Uber driver were hit by a Ford pickup truck as they stood outside on the shoulder of Interstate 70. Monroe and Jackson were standing outside the vehicle on the side of the road because the football player was ill. That's Edwin Jackson. Police say the drunk driver, 37-year-old Manuel Orego Zavala, is from Guatemala and is in this country illegally. He had previously been deported in 2007 and again in 2009. President Trump tweeted, so disgraceful that a person illegally in our country killed Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson. This is just one of many such preventable tragedies. We must get the Dems to get tough on the border and with illegal immigration fast. So, I mean, Steve, this is the latest illegal immigration case that will be argued by politicians and by activists. But Jackson's friends and roommate said that Jackson would not want his tragic death politicized. And he says, I don't think Edwin would have judged anyone on where they were from or anything else. But the president is taking it.
Well, I understand and respect what his friends are saying, and they're probably 100% right about it. The problem is this president and this Republican Party are doing just that. They did it at the address. They had two families stand up and talk about they're losing their daughter and their other child from illegal immigrants. Was
gang
that
members.
Not the case?
Yeah.
Gang members, MS-13. Mm-hmm. They take every advantage they can.
Yeah.
See, this whole thing, and I was thinking about this morning too, this president promised to drain the swamp. So he's gotten rid of the FBI director. He's gotten rid of so many key positions. But he's refilled the swamp up with brand new creatures to the likes that we've never seen before. How did Steve Bannon get into the White House? A right-wing, ultra-conservative, Bart Wright. I mean, these Bart. People, whatever they are, I mean, these people, man, are like some of the worst people when it comes to equality and no love for anybody other than themselves. How did he get in the White House? All these people that he's pulling the White House that are gone now, that are under federal investigation, that have cooperated with the Mueller investigation, collusion, there's been no collusion proven with the Russians, but there is proof that they tampered with the election. Collusion has not been proven yet. There are no facts about that. They're trying to make a case for that, but you haven't had that, man, and who has even talked to the Russians in years?
Well, the
but they interfered with the...
On. The investigation is still going on anyway.
Right, but this is a new creature in the swamp. And the swamp is headed up by a new kind of president. He is so unpresidential.
Man.
And so that's what we're dealing with now, man. And it's disheartening. And I feel for the linebacker's family, and our hearts and condolences goes out to his family and the Uber driver, who we don't even know his name.
You know. Yes, we do. We have his name, Jeffrey Monroe.
Okay, but what was the president's tweet?
He tweeted about Edwin Jackson, the Colts. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, see,
so disgraceful that a person illegally in our country killed Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson. This is just one of many such preventable tragedies. We must now, get see, the Dems to get...
Okay, see, here we go again. In this new political face that we have in the White House, this unpresidential guy, he uses the Colts football player's name. The same football players that he criticized.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
But when it's for political purposes, now he has a name. But he don't say nothing about the Uber driver. The Uber driver got a family too.
Right.
The Uber driver's life is just as important as anybody else's life. So two men lose their lives, and he's going to use it for political purposes. There can be no surprise here. The swamp is filled with new creatures. We'll be back with more of this show when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letters. But up next, it's the nephew with the prank phone call for today. Neff, what you got?
Ain't it February?
Yes, yeah. Of course it is. Yeah.
It's February, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
All right, then. Naming this prank right here, Black History Month.
Oh, you're pranking people about our heritage?
Come on,
man.
Now.
What is that saying?
Let me do this.
What is that saying your grandmother used to have?
If you make it through January and February, you can march on through to April and May.
Right.
Yes, sir. Here it is. Black History Month.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach James. James, please.
Speaking.
Hey, James, how you doing? This is Chad, and I'm calling from the job. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. Giving you a call. I'm actually the regional manager over your department.
Okay. Everything's all right, huh? Because today's Sunday. I just want to make sure I'm still coming to work tomorrow.
Oh, you're definitely. Nothing like that. You're definitely coming to work. Now, who's your manager over at your office? Is it Brent?
Brent.
Right. Okay. Well, here's what we're doing, man. We're calling everybody in the company, first of all, today. But more importantly, we're definitely making contact with every African-American in the company. And I'm letting you know that we're paying homage and much respect to Black History Month.
Outstanding.
That's something that we want to definitely let you guys know that's important to us.
I think that is outstanding. How can I help?
Well, listen, we've got some things that we want to do for tomorrow. And that's the reason why you're getting a call today. Are you up for helping us, you know, really, really push Black History Month within the company?
Chad, I'm a team player. Whatever it takes, let's get it done.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We got a lot of people that we've given a call to, and everybody's going to play different roles tomorrow at the office. So we wanted to give you a call. Do you mind if you're really the team player that we think you are, and I think you've already made mention that you don't mind doing what it takes?
I don't. You're on the right track.
Okay, good deal. Here's what we're asking, man. We would like for you tomorrow to actually, if you could find these type of articles tonight, but if you could wear a burlap shirt, some cut-off pants, and no shoes tomorrow, that would really, really help us out on the theme that we're trying to get going for tomorrow.
Whoa, Chad. I think I heard you, but I'm not sure. Can you please repeat that one more time, please?
We want you to wear a burlap shirt, some cut-off pants, and just don't wear any shoes at all. That's the attire that we would like for you to come into the office with tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, and we're going to give it a go, man. Everyone's excited about it, and we would like for you to come in tomorrow. Like I said,
Chad, let me give you, since we're going to celebrate Black History, let me give you one fact. The year 1619 was the first African-American slaves arrived in Virginia. Today is Sunday 20. You think I'm do some like that? Are you
I'm sorry. I didn't exactly hear what you said at the beginning. What did you say?
Slavery's been over with. Ain't no way in hell I'm finna come into an office with a man. You white folks lose your mind. What is wrong with you? Why you ask me to put on a baseball suit to come in as Jackie Robinson? Why you ask me to put on a two-piece suit and come in as Eric Holder? What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Well, what we want to do here, and I don't want you to get upset about this, James. What we want to do is
you asking me to do? To be a slave?
Well,
you know what I will do? I will come up there and pretend to be Huey Newton on your ass. That's what I will do, and show you some real Black Power Panther movement on your Would you like that?
Sir, what we want, we're not here to create problems. What we want to do is we want to pay homage.
You call me with a problem on a Sunday to dress as a slave. That's the problem. That's a big problem.
Okay, sir, if we're going to pay homage to Black history, don't you think that all of that is a part of Black history?
Highlight the positive, man. Highlight the positive. You're paying me today to work for you. This ain't no slave-free labor. Exactly. Do you understand that?
No, I completely understand it. But what if we don't have where it started from? We have to have every single area of Black history, don't you think? We have to have the beginning, the middle, and the ending.
Okay, well, if you want to highlight something, let me be Frederick Douglass. Let me slick my hair back. But see, the problem you got with him was his father was a white man. See, y'all like looking at our women, but y'all don't like uplifting the Black man. So how about I do that? Let me be Frederick Douglass. Let's highlight that part. How about you, Chad? You like Black women? Answer the question.
I like all people, sir. What I'm trying to do is get a great, great environment within the company, and everyone wants
to. It's not a great environment.
Now, the majority of the Caucasian people are going to be masters tomorrow, okay?
What the f*** did you say? Masters? Did you even say masters?
Yes, most of them are going to be masters tomorrow.
I'll be in there with my attorney to master an EEOC lawsuit on your f***. How about that?
Sir, do you have a problem with us trying to uplift the Black community? Do you have a problem with that?
Man, you ain't uplifting the thing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm coming in tomorrow as Barack Obama. But see, you don't like that, do you? Yeah, you running around here want to get somebody to come in to be a slave. You be a master. Master this. Master me coming in as a Black man like I've been coming in to work and like I'm going to forever come in to work. We're a major pharma company, and you calling me on a Sunday with some like this? Are you out your mind?
Sir, what we're trying to do is uplift the Black community. That's what we're trying to do.
Same talking about slavery. Uplift my and kiss my Black. That's what you do.
Sir, what we're trying to do is pay homage to Black history, and here you are being negative about the entire situation of what we're trying to do.
Being negative? You right? I'm being like, man, you. I'm coming in as Barack Obama tomorrow, like I said, and I'm going to have my shoes on my feet. Can you uplift that?
Sir, there's one more thing I need to say to you, okay? There's one more thing. I'm sorry?
You done said all you had to say. What's your name again?
Chad, sir. Chad Billingsley.
What the hell you got to say, Chad?
All I wanted to say to you is this, sir, is I am Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, and you just got pranked by your coworker, Kevin.
Man, I knew this had to be some kind of joke. Y'all playing on a Sunday? Man, I'm going to kick tomorrow. I was worried about my job. I was getting ready to come there tomorrow and whoop some. Every white boy I thought looked like a map. And don't let me see a brother dressed like a slave. I was going to whoop his too.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I got to ask you, man. You got to tell me this. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio station in the land?
Man, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. What y'all think? It's just an auction, okay?
If I were you, if I went out today, I would wear a disguise. I would. I really would. Tommy.
Can we get you to wear some burlap? That's all we have.
Why would you even say that?
Get him, Junior.
In Black History Month, though.
Yeah.
You know, just a little teaspoon of Black history. That's all. That's was that all?
I would wear a disguise if I went out today, if I were you. I'm just saying.
Okay. Should I go out in burlap?
Tell us about the CD. Let's get off of this, please.
You don't even want to talk about it.
No.
Won't he do it? Won't he do it? That's my CD. It's in Walmart today, next month, this week, next week. You get it. Get it right now. Won't he do it? I'm pranking church people, and those are the best people to prank. Won't he do it? Get it in Walmart today. You know what? I'm a prank. I got a good idea. What do you think? I prank all radio personalities.
What do you mean by that?
You know, like I prank Ricky, prank Uncle Steve, prank Tom Jonah, prank, what's the one used to be all video soul? What's his name?
Donnie Simpson.
Donnie Simpson. I pranked Donnie. Yeah, I could just do a whole CD where I pranked nothing but radio personality. That's a whole nother CD.
I don't know if that's going to be good, Tommy.
Okay. I go back to the drawing board. No problem.
All right. Are you done? You're quite done. You're scaring me. No. Coming up at the top of the hour, today's Strawberry Letter. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Trump's lawyers are worried about his interview with Mueller. The New York Times reports that Trump's legal team is worried he could be charged for lying to investigators if he makes contradicting statements during questioning. And while the president's lawyers also do not believe that Mueller has legal standing to question the president, this is where it gets complicated. Should the president decline, Mueller could then try to subpoena him, a move that could create a complicated legal battle. It's believed that Robert Mueller wants to question President Trump about the firing of former FBI Director James Comey and Trump's interaction with former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who, of course, we'll all recall, Flynn pleaded guilty to charges in Mueller's probe last year.
You can't let this president talk to the special committee headed up by Mueller. You can't let him talk because he's not, no one's there.
He'll perjure himself.
Perjure, he don't do this. He can't tell the truth.
Well, I think they're
he don't know
to
what
stop.
That is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't know what it is.
No respect.
It started from day one, the largest inauguration in the history, biggest crowds.
Yeah.
They took a picture, overhead view of Obama's inauguration and his and put it next to each other. It was just empty chairs.
A whole back section.
No, yeah. Looked like a furniture store. That's what it
looked
like.
A warehouse furniture store.
I love it.
And it's just been one thing after the next, and he doesn't know. And so once you say this to this special committee and the FBI agents are in the room, it's you don't have to be under oath. You cannot make an untrue statement, a false or contradictory statement to the FBI. There are laws that cover that. You don't have to be under oath. So they don't want him talking at all because there's no way this guy can talk without doing that. He can't.
No.
He has no respect
not this
for
guy.
The truth. No respect for it. Well,
he just said last week, Shirley, didn't he say last week that he was the greatest president ever?
He says that every day to himself in the mirror, I'm sure. He's got to say that.
I mean, just look at the State of the Union address.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a president clap more for themselves? I was going, damn, dog.
In the microphone.
Yeah, he was loud in the mic.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, he mad because the Dems didn't clap. Now, he'd have called them treasonous.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not American.
They didn't clap for Obama, the Republicans.
Right. I mean, they do this all the time. They do, but to charge them with treason, to overthrow the government, that's crazy. All right, listen, come on, Tommy. It's time for you know what.
Let's get it. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
Subject, perfect boyfriend, less than perfect credit. Steve,
you
Shirley.
Everybody on this one.
Steve and Shirley, first let me clarify the title. I am the girlfriend, and I am the one with less than perfect credit. I met a man last year who appeared in my life just 2 weeks after I got down on my knees and prayed one of the most serious prayers I have prayed in my life, asking God to send me the helpmate I needed because I was tired of being a workaholic. I had never prayed that prayer in my life. Here is how I know this man was sent by God. I met him while I was doing some volunteer work that I forced myself to do. After we met, we talked on the phone for weeks, discussing everything under the sun. The more we talked, the more we wanted to talk. We started doing things that I had never done in previous relationships. We began playing tennis together, going to the gym, going to church, finding new places to visit, going to concerts, finding historical events to attend, reading books, and much more. Each day when we got off work, we were on the phone discussing dinner plans. It has been 7 months of extreme happiness with me, wanting to spend more and more time with this good black man. He has been talking marriage, but I am hesitant to enter into that world because I have what marketing companies refer to as less than perfect credit. But we all know what that means. None of the stuff on my credit report is recent because I am back on my feet, but it's still bad, including a Chapter 7 and student loans. This man owns a Yukon, a Lexus, and a nice house. He's good. He has good credit. I know this for sure. He does not brag or boast material things, but I am so scared of letting him find out about my credit status. I appear to have decent credit because I have a nice house and car too. But the truth is, I can't even rent a car. I have no credit cards. This man has treated me like a total queen with love and respect. He stays in constant communication with me, and it is understood that we are spending quality time together each and every day. Problems I had in the past relationships are not even an issue with this brother. I am totally in love with him, his character, and the role model he is to young men. I would be honored to be his wife. So how do I approach him about my credit status? First of all, I got to say thank you a whole lot for this letter. I love this letter because these are the kinds of issues you should be talking about when you think about getting married, when you talk about getting married. What is your credit status, your credit problem, stuff like that. I don't care how much you love a person, you still need to know how they handle money. You still need to know if they pay their bills. You still need to know if they pay their bills on time. All of that. Because money is one of the number one problems in a marriage. If you have a bad marriage, it can cause a bad marriage. It's better to know up front so you can fix it if need be. Here's the deal. If this man was truly sent by God to you, and only you and the Lord know that, then that's great. Have faith. He'll work it out. I say man up. Be strong. If God brought you this far, he won't leave you. You can start on repairing your credit now. That's what you can do. Okay? So when he does propose, it can at least be fixed. Your score can go up. You say none of the stuff on your credit report is recent anyway. So for all you know, you can get credit now. Have you even tried? I say get to work, try this, get to work, start repairing your credit, you know, so you can stay in this good relationship with this good man, okay?
Big dog.
Steve?
Nah.
You gonna wait, ain't you?
Nah, you gonna wait? I don't see that, Shirley. There's some other things in this letter that's a little bit more revealing to me.
Okay.
Oh, code cracker.
Yeah, I saw a couple of things in here that made me go, uh-oh.
What you see, CC?
You know.
The letter is posted, by the way. I know.
Keep it pimpy. Keep it pimpy.
Okay. Letter is posted, by the way, if you want to comment.
When we come back, another look at it. And
go
tell
to SteveHarvey.com.
And you can look at it and do what?
Click on the strawberry letter and write your own comments to the strawberry letter.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Give her your own advice.
Cold cracker.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response to today's strawberry letter at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's get to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter.
CC, I thought you were going to keep it pimpy, baby.
No. See, it's time to go and get up in this one the right way. Steve, mm-hmm. Shirley, subject, perfect boyfriend, less than perfect credit. Title of this letter makes you think that this is a perfect boyfriend who has less than perfect credit. That's the beginning of what's wrong with this letter, but then let me share this with you. Steve Shirley, first let me clarify the title. I am the girl. See, why would you even write the title like that? And then say, let me clarify the title. I want you to see how this lady writes.
Okay.
First, let me clarify the title. I am the girlfriend, and I am the one with less than perfect credit. I met a man last year who appeared in my life just 2 weeks after I got down on my knees and prayed one of the most serious prayers I have prayed in my life, asking God to send me the helpmate I needed because I was tired of being a workaholic. Had never prayed that prayer in my life. Here's how I know the man was sent by God. I met him while I was doing some volunteer work that I forced myself to do. After we met, talked on the phone for weeks, discussing everything under the sun. The more we talked, the more we wanted to talk. We started doing things that I had never done in previous relationships. We began playing tennis together, going to the gym, going to church, finding new places to visit, going to concerts, finding historical events to attend, reading books, and much more. Every day when we got off work, we were on the phone discussing dinner plans. It's been 7 months of extreme happiness with me wanting to spend more and more time with this good black man. He has begun talking marriage, but I'm hesitant to enter into that world because I have what marketing companies refer to as less than perfect credit. But we all know what that means. None of the stuff on my credit report is recent because I'm back on my feet, but it's still bad, including a Chapter 7 and student loans. This man's on the Yukon, a Lexus, a nice house. He has good credit. I know this for sure. He does not brag or boast material things, but I'm so scared of letting him find out about my credit status. I appear to have decent credit, but because I have a nice house and car too. But the truth is, I can't even rent a car. I have no credit cards. This man is treating me like a total queen with love and respect. He stays in constant communication with me, and if it's understood that we're spending quality time with each other each and every day. Problems I had in past relationships are not even an issue with this brother. I'm totally in love with him, his character, and the role model he is to young men. I would be honored to be his wife. So how do I approach him about my credit issues? First of all, Shirley gave you some great advice. I got to tell you that. But let's really get into what's really, really wrong here. First of all, I do not doubt for one moment that God sent you this man. How would I know that it wasn't? Sound like a good brother to me, according to the letter. Sound like 2 weeks after praying on your most serious prayer. This could be it. Y'all been together for some 7 months now, and ain't nothing wrong. But let's talk about you, though. You're a little bit deceptive, lady, and you're practicing deception a lot. And you gotta start being honest. Your problem really ain't your credit. Your problem is your deceptive practice. And see, you just being deceitful in a way. It's what, see, if a man played y'all like this, he'd be a lying dog. Hello. But see, when y'all do it, though, it ain't that no more. Nice, I need your help. First of all, you got to stop being deceitful. Title of the letter is subject, perfect boyfriend, less than perfect credit. Deceitful. Then you straighten it out. Let me clarify the title. I'm the girlfriend and I'm the one with less than perfect credit. Why ain't that the title of the letter? But see, you practice deceitful stuff all the time in your life, and then you come back and try to clarify the stuff. I'm just telling you what I see in the letter. You get on your knees, you have the most serious prayers you've ever prayed in your life, asking God to send you the helpmate I needed because I'm tired of being a workaholic. Deceit. You ain't tired of being a workaholic. You tired of being in debt and struggling. You a workaholic, ain't you struggling. You tired of being in debt. You tired of not having credit. You want a helpmate for that reason, not because you a workaholic. You ain't said you paying all the bills, you take care of all the kids. You ain't said none of that. You said you told God you wanted a helpmate. Then you deceive me and write me the letter by saying you tired of being a workaholic. No, you ain't. Your problem ain't you work all the time. You got plenty of time for dinner, your horseback riding, you going to concerts, historical events. You sound like your ass working too much to me.
It's tennis.
You going to tennis, you doing all this here, reading in the park, stargazing and all this here. You sound like no workaholic to me.
Crack it, Steve.
I'm just telling you, you do not sound like a workaholic to me. You ain't asked God because you a workaholic because you tired of struggling. That's what your ass doing. You struggling. And then you get into the letter and say, the more we talk, the more we want to. We started doing things I've never done in previous relationships. I didn't want to read what I read into that comment right there, but go ahead. Work your magic, though, girl. Do what it is you do.
Right.
Tennis together, going to the gym together, going to church, finding new places to visit, going to concerts, finding historical events to attend, reading books, much, much more. Workaholics ain't got time for none of that.
No.
All right, Steve, we got to go. We have to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Switching gears now, Oscar-nominated Mary J. Blige. She recently graced the cover of New York Magazine. Mary also dished about her role as Florence Jackson on Mudbound and coping with her ongoing divorce. When Mary was asked what she learned from her character, especially being stripped down to her natural hair with no makeup, Mary said, I learned that I'm a really powerful woman. I'm a really powerful woman. I mean, other than just being Mary J. Blige, I learned that I'm powerful because I don't have to say much to be heard. All right now, Mary.
All right, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary. We on team so Mary.
Isn't her divorce over?
Your Honor, can I ask you something? Can I speak to Ken Do? Can we bring him to the stand, please? Ken Do.
Cross-examine.
We'll cross-examine you. What have you done to eat this evening? What have you done?
We gotta go. Listen, coming up, that's right. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about the downfall of your ex. Wow, maybe we will continue this convo.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Poor sportsmanship. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady didn't congratulate Philly Eagles Nick Foles after Super Bowl. Really? However, Brady's wife, I didn't know that, Gisele Bündchen, took to Instagram with a photo of her consoling Tom after his Super Bowl loss. Gisele even congratulated the Eagles on their win. But wait a minute, Tom's ex and baby mama, Bridget Moynihan, congratulated the Eagles. She tweeted, hashtag Nick Foles is having an amazing game. And she also tweeted, congratulations, Eagle. So, okay. This keeping it 100 question.
So she had to tweet.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. From Carla, for the crew is, have you prayed for the downfall of your ex and why? Have you prayed, guys, anybody, for the downfall of your ex?
No, I ain't that bitter.
No.
Well, yeah, no. I ain't
I'm not that guy.
Oh.
No. I don't pray for nobody's.
Allegedly.
No, I prayed for the Lord to take you out of my life. I prayed for that.
But you don't want anything bad.
I mean, when I heard
like
something bad about my ex, I didn't really be upset about it. I'm like, what? That happened to them? I wasn't that. I took it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know.
She pregnant. What?
That's not a downfall.
What? To me, it was.
I ain't like really praying for nothing like real bad to happen. Like, you know, I was. Yeah, I prayed for a lot, you know, lockjaw one time.
Lockjaw?
You know,
wouldn't talk?
Yeah, you know, just a temporary stroke, you know, left side.
Steve.
Just
Tommy.
Temporary.
Yeah. Just move on, Tommy.
Court appearance on court day.
Oh,
on
court day.
I did ask for a car accident one time. Oh, that's you know, but it wasn't nothing. I just wanted to not to make it. That's all. I didn't want to be hurt, but I want the car to be total. Yeah.
I mean, you're going through your struggling with this, Steve.
Yeah, you're really struggling.
Yeah.
What, Tommy? What were you saying?
I wish you ran out of gas on a cliff. You know.
So wait, when we first started this segment and Shirley asked y'all this question, y'all was like, "No, I ain't never done nothing like that."
Pray, but okay, Shirley. But what was your question though?
The question is, have you prayed for the downfall of your ex? And if why?
Not the downfall. No.
Mm-hmm. But something to happen. Just,
you know.
But to fall down.
Okay, I'm just saying that's the same thing, guys. Okay,
yes,
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You know, like slip on some steps in your heels.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And go into an uncontrollable free fall. Stuff like that. Hey, that
in slow motion.
Get a heel caught in a sewer grate, you know, something like that.
On the fall asleep with your perm on. That's what I'm talking about.
Now we bald?
Burn your damn scalp.
That's about the most you've done.
Yeah, nothing really bad, though, right, guys?
Yeah, nothing bad. Yeah, nothing
stranger bad. Come up and slap the hell out of him, something like that. Yeah.
Mm. That's where you draw the line. It was something bad. Just right
yeah,
there.
I don't know nothing really bad to happen, but, you know, like, you know, if I find out, you know, you...
I love Steve.
I know, because all this blowing and stuff.
You know, just so it don't be nothing bad, you know.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Chased by a pit bull or something like that.
You know, like if I find out your house got burned down and all the tapes was in there, I'd be cool.
What tapes? What's going on?
Any tapes, you know.
Somebody super glued your mouth. This is a question for y'all, because y'all the one carry grudges.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, Tommy. You're the one. I know you're not
Shirley,
talking about carrying grudges.
Well, but Shirley, hold on. I think he owned to something. I think he owned to something.
What?
But Shirley, as I recall, and I've been your friend, oh, Lord, 18 years now. You ain't ever forgave. What's his name?
Not what's his name.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now.
You ain't ever forgave. What's his name?
What's his name?
Ever.
So Shirley, you ain't let it go?
Mm-mm, hell no.
Even today, huh?
Hell no.
I wanted mine to die.
Damn. Yeah, at my hand. Yeah. I wanted to be the murderess.
At your hand.
Surely, not you.
Oh, yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to kill him.
Surely, you see me scriptures every morning.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, she sent them to me, too.
Hey, I'm not perfect, Junior.
I know.
And Carla, they say you know how to slide on the car and disconnect brakes in by 4 seconds.
Carla, you can disconnect brakes. Who told you
that? Allegedly.
Carla poured sugar in a man tank one time.
Carla, allegedly. You have no proof of that.
Carla, a 5-pound bag. But Carla, when the man gas tank exploded, what did you need? How do I need proof when the butcher knife is still in the last pie you cut?
Carla, you allegedly. I don't even know what he's talking about. Right.
Hey, this was a question for the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, just out there just stabbing the tie.
You have no proof of that. This is all
Carla
allegedly.
For real? Carla for real,
Carla
dog.
For real.
I will be President Trump on this show. There's no collusion.
No obstruction.
Carla stabbed. Listen to me. Carla took a butcher knife, stabbed out the tail lights and the headlights and park lights on the car. Mm.
Carla. Yeah.
Just the lights.
No, Junior. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. Steve is just talking.
No.
He can't Carla even do that. Go out at night.
When it gets dark, you need to be where you're going.
Because that's what got him in trouble. He was out at night.
Creeping.
Yeah, out at night.
Hard to creep, ain't no lights on your car.
Kylie, just when you think you know the people you work with.
But we've grown so much since then.
Yeah, we're not petty like that.
Have we not?
We're not petty like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sugar, allegedly, in the gas tank. It was a water hose that you... Oh, sorry.
Hey, what?
Just to feel the taste.
Water in the tank?
Yeah, she did.
His car just sputtering.
I don't know why.
Allegedly. All right, coming up, it's All-Star Weekend. It'll be in Los Angeles this year. We'll see what the guys have planned, especially Tommy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, we just finished the Super Bowl this past Sunday. Go Eagles once again. Congratulations. But guess what? The All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game is coming up, and it's going to be right here in L.A.
Junior?
Oh, man. It's going to be in L.A.?
I'm going to be in L.A. with you.
Oh, let's no. Go.
Let's do it. What you let's do what you didn't do in Vegas. That's all I'm saying. You ain't with the big dog. You with the little dog. We finna do little dog stuff. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
What we going to do, Tommy?
What's little dog stuff?
Oh, we supposed to get ignorant.
So we finna fly in on a proper propeller plane.
Hell no. Southwest, boy, and you better get on that early flight. Listen. But when we get in there, we hitting every party, top to bottom. That's what we
Where you going to stay, Tommy?
Let me see. Better stay out by the airport. It's cheaper. Mm.
But you got to get to the Staples Center. That, you know. What
Yeah, we gonna get over there. We get a cab, Uber. We going to Uber over there. We get that. We good. Mm. Yeah. That's how I roll. You rolling with me. Come see
Little puppy.
What baby balling feel like. It's baby balling.
Well, damn it, I'm doing that myself.
No, that's just baby. Quit saying balling.
I can take Uber. I can stay out by the airport. I mean,
yeah,
give
Uber,
me something.
That's not balling.
Give me something I can do. I can't do.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going on and just, it's going to cost us a bit. We're going to go to Mastro's and get something to eat. But you got to let me order yours before you go crazy, though. Okay.
Well, how much is Mastro's, Tommy?
He's not a child.
How much is it?
I can fix his plate, Shirley.
It's just a restaurant.
Any restaurant you can go in and eat at, can't you?
I have always been able to.
Right. What is... Yeah.
$100, Junior.
Oh, not a whole hundred. All right. I pulled a lever twice in Vegas, and that was it.
$100.
Dog, I got $100... For me to eat $100, Tommy, if I go to a restaurant by myself right now, it's going to be $65.
Well, what is you trying to do?
You the one talking about we going to ball the All-Star Weekend. We ain't finna be doing nothing.
Ladies, how I feel listening to this little baller talk? Boring you.
Man, he's struggling, ain't he?
Yeah, wake me up when it's
that
over.
Ain't no excitement in this here.
Wow. Well, Junior, let me ask Tommy this for you.
Hey, man, let me tell y'all how we'll do it. You come out here, man. I got driver. We get drove down to the stable center. I got a suite down there.
You have a suite in the stable center? That's what I'm talking about.
I ain't know nothing about this here.
I didn't know either.
So y'all can see the slam dunk contest, 3-point shootout, all that, huh, Steve? You got
it. Ain't good to see the dunk contest from up there, but, you know, to really appreciate the dunk, you need to be down on the floor, but I got flow seats.
You got flow seats, too?
You got flow seats, too.
So y'all can swing through and grab me? And then
now, I said that's what I'd do. But I don't like them crowds down there, so I'm not going.
Can I have
your
tickets?
So what's happening to the suite?
No, my wife going to have the suite.
But the flow tickets, though.
We can't be in there with Aunt Marge?
Hell no. That's for her and her girlfriend.
That's what I'm talking about. See, now we getting somewhere. Okay.
Hey, dog. You married, fool. Your ass is married.
He don't.
Why do we have to keep reminding you of this, though?
And Marge's girlfriend don't want you.
Ever.
Oh, so I'm ugly to them, too.
No, you've been ugly this whole time.
Damn, what is news to you? Quick, stop all this surprise and shock.
Now, this conversation just got exciting to me.
Yeah, you was ugly when you was online playing. Yeah. You was an ugly little scroller. You was ugly in high school. You was ugly on the track team. You was ugly in Papa Ray Stole Money.
Oh, you come just, on, man. You been,
what about Mama's Boy?
You ugly in Mama's Boy.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi.
You ugly.
Hey, people inside my head to her.
He was ugly then.
Okay.
Baggage claim.
Ugly.
Think like a man.
So ugly, one line, get out.
He didn't even get the sequel.
Insecure, ugly.
It's got to be a cute moment.
TNT, ugly.
Got to be a cute moment in here for your time.
I think you all heard him.
Yeah, I tried.
Pretty badly.
I tried. I tried to stay.
Steve, don't crush him.
He
got to
have
that.
One
don't
cute
crush
moment.
Him.
Hold on, time. I'm
no,
back.
He got to. Last
so,
time.
So when I left the house. Wait, you was there. When I left the house for prom with my ducktail tuxedo. I wasn't cute that night.
What you say, Tommy? That's
what
you
said. What I said?
Get up, Junior. I'm sorry.
Tommy. You had a ducktail tuxedo on it. When you walked off, I was laughing because you were the same height as a duck. You waddled your little ass out that door. I was hollering there.
Oh, man. Boy, thank you, man. That boy begged for that.
You mean to tell me when I had that ducktail tuxedo on, I wasn't cute?
I thought I was the flyest thing at the spot, boy. I thought I was a beast.
Oh, man.
You do a lot of that, though, Tommy. A lot of this is because, as a lady told Boomerang one time, she said I had a 5-minute, she was a motivational speaker. She talked to Boomerang for 5 minutes. You know what she told Boomerang? She said, you're the type of person where you don't really need to go up inside your mind by yourself. You should take somebody with you all the time. Because what you be up in there coming out, because you come back out with, it ain't good. You need to take somebody else up in your mind, try some of this stuff on. You quit coming out with what you think. And Tommy, you just one of them people, man, where you need to take somebody up in your mind with you all the time. Don't go up there by yourself.
Oh, man, who feeding you this cute information?
So if I'm not gonna go up in my mind by myself, how do you take somebody in your mind? How do you?
We got to go. We got to go.
Okay.
More of this craziness. Yeah. When we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Super Bowl Sunday was a great day for the Philadelphia Eagles and for their fans, but it wasn't such a great day. It was a terrible day for many sports books in Vegas. Gambling industry insiders say people putting money down on the game won on 54% of the bets they place on the spread, 75% on the money line wagers, and 56% of bets placed on the over. All right. The public was even on the winning side of the prop bets. All this led to many of the biggest sports books taking huge losses in Vegas.
So, Junior, I think this is all attributed to you, really, because you went out there and won big, huh?
It didn't have nothing to do with what we were doing. You put that bet down there, and it was a lot of people from Boston. I'm talking about Hurt. Uh-huh. I'm talking about Hurt.
Well, we was walking around. It was some Brady jerseys on, some Gronkowski jerseys. They was just sitting up in there looking shattered. Oh, for the game, bro. That's all you. Boston, Boston. Uh-huh. Hey, Steve, who you for? Philly. Okay, whatever. Ain't got nothing to do with the hell of who I'm for. I'm for Philly. Quit asking me. You don't want me to say Philly, don't ask me. So after the game was over and we went down to the casino, I saw some of them same people.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I don't let it go.
No.
Rubbed it in, didn't you?
Oh, dog. You know, you're going to try to act like you don't see me coming now. I said, hey. My man, y'all, where y'all from? New York? Philly did it. Yeah, we were there. I saw you. They sitting up there with the Brady jersey.
Yeah, man. You couldn't tell them nothing before the game.
Man, it was a shoe-in. They was all in the stores. You got to lose. Take a picture with the champs. I said, yeah, but when I take this picture, though, y'all know that I'm from Philly. And so when you look back at this picture, remember I told y'all, yeah, you won't be telling us anything. Snap the picture.
Wow. Oh, really, Steve.
Yeah. Confident.
Philly, the ultimate underdogs. I mean, they were some underdogs.
Hey, did you guys hear about this, Steve? Gronkowski, did you guys hear about this?
Yeah,
he got robbed. Someone broke into his
Who?
House.
Mm-hmm. Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. Well, they knew where he was.
Yeah.
They do that.
That's messed up, though, man.
Yeah, he returned to his home in Foxborough yesterday and discovered it had been burglarized.
Yeah.
Police said that his home was broken into while away, like you just said, Steve, in Minneapolis for the big game.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his house is just located just a few miles away from Gillette Stadium, where the team returned to yesterday, and investigators are not saying what items were stolen from the house, but a dispatcher was heard saying that multiple safes and possibly guns were taken.
That's somebody been in that house before. You know where all the safes at?
Maybe you're right, Tommy.
They got in the safes?
They were taken. They were taken. Yeah. Multiple safes and possible guns were taken.
They done ripped them out of
the
wall.
They took the safes?
That's what it says.
This is according to ESPN.
That's not possible.
Well, that's what it says.
Nah, you take a lot of stuff. You can't get this safe, though, dog. Promise you that.
You're snatching ATM machines out the doggone wall. It's possible, dog.
Yeah. Well, everything's possible.
Well, I mean, it depends if it's the little bitty safe or something like that.
Well, they just said they were taken.
But they had plenty of time. The man playing ball somewhere. He got plenty of time.
They could call in experts to remove them, whatever. All right. We have to tell you guys about National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day. Carla and I want you to get tested. We want you to get care. We want you to stay in care. And we want you, most of all, to get healthy. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Y'all already know, we the fellas. We like to act a fool all day, every day. That's what we do.
Yeah. You needed us to amen that.
He didn't have to ask. Is that a question?
Rhetorical question.
But it does come a time that we got to stay focused on what's going on in the community. So we make sure we get that to the ladies. So Carla, Shirley, keep us locked. Take it away. I think the funny going to sit back and let y'all do what y'all do. How about that?
All right, cool. Thank you. This is for everyone, though. It doesn't have to be just the ladies or whatever. Today is February 7th. Check your calendar out. It is National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day. This is the day we observe each year to increase HIV education, testing, community involvement, and treatment among Black communities. This year's theme is Stay the Course. Stay the course. The fight is not over. We here at the Steve Harvey Morning Show are doing our part to increase awareness about HIV among Blacks, African Americans, and encourage people to get involved in prevention efforts, get tested, and get treatment if you are living with HIV. Now, this is according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Back in 2016, African Americans accounted for 44% of HIV diagnosis, despite making up 12% now of the U.S. population. Also, HIV diagnoses are up among African American gay and bisexual men ages 25 to 34.
increasing 30%. That's a huge number, 30% from 2011 to 2015. However, there are promising signs of progress, especially among women and those who inject drugs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's... in all communities, Shirley and Tommy, the lack of awareness of HIV status contributes to HIV risk. And people who do not know that they have HIV cannot take advantage of HIV care and treatment and may unknowingly pass HIV to others.
That's right. Knowledge is power. The poverty rate is higher among African Americans than other racial and ethnic groups. The socioeconomic issues associated with poverty, including limited access to high-quality health care, housing, and HIV prevention education.
Let's fight the stigma by showing that persons with HIV are real people. Mothers, fathers, friends, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, partners, wives, husbands. Today is National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Get involved. Get educated. Get tested. Protect yourself and your partner. Practice safe sex behavior.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Get tested. To find a testing site near you, visit gettested.cdc.gov. That's gettested.cdc.gov, or you can call 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-CDC-INFO. You can also use a home testing kit that is available in drugstores or online. Get tested, get care, stay in care, and get healthy. Go to, one more time, hiv.gov. For more information. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go, as evidenced by these statistics that we just talked about. All right, so again, get tested, and for more information, you can go to hiv.gov, okay?
Well, you get tested and find out you are positive. You can still live a productive life, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to know it.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Yeah. All right, coming up next, just one more thing. We'll close out the show with Steve's closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, here we are, end of the show, with just one more thing, your closing remarks.
Today, I want to still stay on the encouraging tip. And I want to talk to people about something that you should make in 2018. These are just suggestions, folks. You know, I don't know everything, but these are some things that I do to personally keep myself moving forward in a positive direction, because I'm always trying to accomplish something new. You know, I'm never satisfied. Well, it's not that I'm never satisfied. I'm never complacent. I don't believe in sitting still. I don't believe in not moving forward. I just don't see it. You know, every day I try to wake up and approach and attack a new challenge. I've always setting goals out there because it just gives you something to aim for throughout the day. One of the things I want to remind people of, something that I do, and you invited to do the same, is, you know, have a life filled with a mission. Have a life filled with a mission. Now, you can have several missions in life, but get your life filled with missions. Remember the show Mission Impossible? Mm-hmm. And remember that tape recording that used to come on every day and tell the guy what to do? And then at the end of it, the tape would self-destruct. But that became the mission. It became the purpose, the task at hand. And until you completed that task, you came back in, and that's what the whole show is. It was a really funny thing. You know, this tape recording comes on, and then it fizzes and disintegrates, and that's your mission. I still do that, man. It's sort of a funny analogy, but I try to create a mission in my life all the time. And in order to accomplish your mission, one of the things you have to do is you have to surround yourself with people who are about the same mission. There will be no missions accomplished in life solely by yourself. I can't think of anything that you can accomplish solely by yourself. You know, even if you want to have a relationship with God, yeah, you can have a relationship with God, but to draw closer, you know, you got to have some type of tutelage. You know, you got to read some scripture. Somebody's got to show you another way to approach it. Somebody go, man, if you're going through this or read that. And it sort of helps you with your goal, even in that. But I don't know anything that you can accomplish mission-wise alone. So you need to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. As a motivational speaker, sometimes when I'm going, I use my motivational pictures that I keep in my phone. And I put them up on the big screen and I show them to people. And one of my favorite pictures is a picture of these lions walking. And the expression on the lion's face, because they've woken up from their nap and they're going out for the hunt. And if you look at lions when they're walking to go out on a hunt, they all have that same determined look on their face because they all about the same mission. You ever notice when lions ready to go out on a hunt, they leave the cubs back at the den? Because see, it ain't no time to play out here because we going out here to feed. We going out here to hunt. So they leave the cubs back in the den when they go out on the hunt because they ain't got no time for no foolishness. And I have this picture in my phone of these lions just striding. And if you look at all the looks on their face, they serious. It ain't no playtime because everybody is on the same mission. Everybody is of the like-mindedness that it takes to accomplish the mission. And the caption says, surround yourself with people who are on the same mission. And I'm saying that to you today. Find someone who is about the business just like you are. Start hanging out with people who are goal-oriented, who are success-minded. Somebody was talking to somebody one time, and they said, man, Steve, let me ask you something. Why rich people are always talking about money? That would get on my nerves. Okay, what else you want to talk about? You want to talk about what happened on The Real Housewives? What you want to talk about? What's going on in the theaters today? We can talk about that. But when I get together with my friends, we get together, we on a mission. I even play golf with people who are on the same mission as me. You know, because we have like-mindedness. I don't play golf with a bunch of single friends. Because, see, now when we're not playing golf, we're not going to be on the single mind. I need people just want to go play golf, go to the clubhouse, have a cigar, get yourself a drink, get yourself something to eat, and go and go to your room because we got to get up early in the morning and play this tournament game we got going again. That's just it. Even when I play with people of like-mindedness. I don't play with people that's doing something else because I don't need the distraction. It's very important that you surround yourself with like-minded people. Find them somewhere. See, it goes along with an old saying. You've all heard this. If you're the smartest person in your group, then you need a new group. You can't be the smartest person in your group, man. You got to have somebody that knows a little bit more about the journey or is familiar with a certain thing that's going to happen on the journey where they can give you a suggestion when you get to that point. Everybody ain't got to be good at everything. Sometimes you have specialty people. It's like, you know, when you're assembling your team, all of your friends ain't the same. Some of your friends, you know, have spiritual messages for you. Some of them just have uplift. Some of them just cool to be around. Some of them do the same things you do. But surround yourself with people who are on the same mission. It will make your journey to the top a lot smoother. It won't make it easy. It will. Y'all have a great weekend.
You already know.
Already waiting on it.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.